Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Amen. Amen. So there's a way that everybody can get involved. You want to make a difference in our community? Get involved. Let's take a stand. Amen. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn with me to two verses of Scripture. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 12 and I also want you to go to John 15. Genesis chapter 12, John 15. So you can just hold your page there, John 15. We're going to be getting back to that shortly. But this morning I want to speak to you. Starla didn't know that she was going to steal one of my verses, but I want to speak to you, my title, what it means to be chosen and blessed. What it means to be chosen and blessed. How many of you would consider yourself blessed this morning? You're blessed. What does that mean? What does it mean when God blesses you, when God chooses you? Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, leave your people and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will," everybody say it, "bless you. And I will make your name great," and look at this last line, say it with me, "and you will be a blessing." The Lord says, "I will bless you," and in the same sentence he said, "and you will be a blessing." Father, I pray that you would take these words, inspire our hearts this morning. Help us, Lord, to make a difference in this city, in this county, in every home, in every child, Lord, that is in crisis or in need. Lord, may we stand and take our place as the body of Christ to make a difference. I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Not too long ago, my family was doing some research, and they were researching our ancestry, family history, and checking on who we were related to. Happily, we found out that there were no major problems in our history as far as, really, really bad people. We did find several folks in our family who were in Leavenworth for quite a period of time, but we didn't spend too much time after that. My mom told me, she said, "Look, we've discovered several things." And she discovered some things that were very surprising about our heredity and our family legacy. And it was really unique as I thought of those things. I thought how connected we really all are. And how really unique it is when you begin to trace where you came from. And that's really an issue. Back in the 70s, there was a movie called Roots. And Alex Haley, the director there, he made a statement. And people were asking him, why would anybody want to know the history of their own family? And his response was this. He said, "It's inherent in every person to desire to know where they came from. We all want to know, where did we come from? How did we get where we are today? What has pushed us here? What made us the person that we are today? Who is my grandfather? Who is my great-grandfather? Who's my father? Who's my mother?" And today, what I want to talk to you about are the spiritual implications of that very thought. How did you get where you are? What are the effects of inherently you wanting to know where you came from? You see, that verse of Scripture in Genesis chapter 12 is tied to another verse of Scripture in the New Testament, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. It says that the promises spoken to Abraham were spoken to his seed. They were spoken both to Abraham and to his seed. What is he saying? He's saying that what was said to Abraham was also said to the generations that would follow him. The meaning of the promises that were given to Abraham in his day were also to be lived out and to be accepted by those who would follow him. It says that the Scripture does not say, "and to seeds," the meaning many people, but "and to your seed," meaning one person who is Christ. So what this whole verse understands from traveling from the Old Testament to the New Testament, if you'll just give me a moment to kind of theologically hack through the jungle here, is that from Abraham all the way through Christ, there is a connection. The connection takes place from the promises that were made to Abraham thousands of years before, and they ultimately become fulfilled in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The promises that were made to Abraham, the promises that had been given to him, that he would be a great nation, that he would leave his family, that he would leave his country, that he would go to the land that would be shown to him, that he would be blessed and that he would be a blessing. Those promises that were made to Abram are given to everyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ. God has promised not only to bless Abraham, but listen, friend, God has promised to bless you so that you can be the blessing. You know, it's just about those who believe in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, you are the inheritor of the promises that Abraham gave. How many of you believe in Jesus this morning? Guess what? You have been blessed, and you are given that blessing so that you might be a blessing. There's a lot of common responses to that. A lot of different things that people will say when they say, well, you know, I'm this or I'm that. And they try to bring up disqualifiers of why those promises are not fulfilled in their lives. Let me just give you a few disqualifiers. Some of the disqualifiers that you hear in our culture have to do, and you see them there in Galatians chapter 3, once again in Galatians 3:28, Paul describes, he says, look, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. One of the disqualifiers that you hear most commonly in our culture today has to do with race. Because in our culture, where racial tensions have become and reached a fever pitch, there is one place, my friend, that is completely equal. There is complete equality, and that is in Jesus Christ. There is no determination of skin pigmentation whatsoever. Whether you are light skin or dark skin or anything in between, race does not disqualify you from the blessing that God gave Abraham that travels all the way through Jesus Christ. It's not about your color. It's about whose faith you have. Race is not a disqualifier. I don't care who you are. You can be blessed. Another disqualifier is, when it comes to the promises of God, is the disqualifier that people think that it depends on your financial standing. Can I just tell you this? Whether you're the person who owns everything or the person who feels like everything owns you, you are not disqualified from the blessings of God, and you are certainly not disqualified to be able to be a blessing to somebody else. It doesn't matter how much you have in your bank account, you can still be a conference and a resource of blessing to somebody else. Come on, somebody say amen. Income does not disqualify you from the blessing that God has promised to the people who are in Christ Jesus. Another disqualifier people use is gender. Male or female, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you can do or can't do as a man or as a woman. God, in this verse, He shows us these three things that in our culture we're so sensitive to, that 2,000 years ago they were the same sensitivities, and He basically eliminates them as disqualifiers. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how wealthy you are. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. You can still be a blessing because God has blessed you through Abraham all the way with faith in Christ. You are the blessed people of God. And when God blessed Abraham, guess what, friends? He blessed you. He blessed me. When I was growing up in kids' church, we had a little song that we used to sing, and it was called Father Abraham Had Many Sons. Anybody ever sing that song? That song took place before there was such a thing as dancing to the oldies, before aerobics ever came about. Father Abraham had many sons. You could burn more calories singing that song. It didn't matter what you went and ate at lunch. You were going to burn them off. Before church, you had plenty of room. That's the same story that we have, because Abraham does have many sons. He had many daughters, because Galatians chapter 3:29 says, if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What God promised Abraham, that He would bless you and that you would be a blessing. My friends, listen to me. God has given that same promise to you. I wish I could say it a number of different ways, but it always rings back true. God blessed Abraham, and in Christ He has therefore blessed you to be the same recipient of that promise. He promised you. What God wants to fulfill in your life is what God was fulfilling in Abraham's life. What God wanted to do in Abraham is what God wants to do in your life. It's the same thing. The man that we read about through a third of the Old Testament had received the promises of God. Those are the same things that God wants to do in your life and in my life today. So the question lies is, what was Abraham's blessing? What was his blessing? He says, I want you to get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. There's four things that are involved in God's promise for Abraham that is involved in your life as well. Four things. Number one is God called Abraham. He said, I want you to get out of your country. The first part of that promise is separation. When God says He wants to bless you, I want you to understand something. There is a key part of that promise that involves separation. You see, most of the time, people want God to bless them, but they don't realize that it's not going to happen if you stay where you are and you do the same thing over and over. Come on, somebody. You can't sit on your rear end and warm a church seat and do that over and over and over again when God is calling you to leave your some things, not leave the church, but God is calling you to leave your complacency and leave your status quo to receive the blessing of God. Abraham would not have received the blessing if he would have just said, you know, this is what I get, this is how I do things, this is right here and no more. Separation is a part because the blessing of God comes with the boundaries of God. God wants to expand your boundaries, my friends. Some of you have walled yourself in into thinking that God's blessing involves this space. Well, my friend, God's blessing is far beyond what you can ever imagine or understand. You see, people want the precious promises of God, but they don't want the precious conditions of God. And God is saying, look, there are some things that you have to walk away from. You have to let go of some things if you want to receive the blessing of God. You've got to let go of that anger and resentment that you have for that divorced spouse. You have to let go of some of that stress that you carry around because the job just seems to be over your head, that financial pressure. You've got to let go of some of that unforgiveness that you have for your mother or your father or for that person who has hurt you. You've got to let go. You've got to separate those things. You've got to separate from that pain and allow God to bless you. And until you separate yourself, God cannot let the blessing flow through your life. The promise involves separation. It involves walking away from a few things. It also involves multiplication. God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. Now I want you to think about it. At this point, there was Abram and his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot. And God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And Abraham looks around and there's three of them. And he says, really? This is exciting. All three of us, we're going to be a great nation. Here's the point I want you to catch. You see, God always sees your life in a dimension that nobody else sees. God sees your life, listen to me, young person. God sees your life in a dimension that most other people don't see. Because most people will say, well, he'll never amount to anything. He's not good enough. He doesn't have this talent. He doesn't have this ability. He doesn't have that personality. She doesn't have what it takes. She doesn't look the part. And people will put you into the proverbial box. But can I tell you that God does not see and have that same perspective of your life? Because God sees your life in a greater dimension. Only three people, Abraham, Sarah, and Lot, stand there. And God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And Abraham says, how? And God says, you just need to trust me. In the New Testament, Paul writes in Ephesians 3:20, he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more or exceedingly greater than all that we can ask or imagine according to the power that is at work within us," God is able to blow your imagination away for the blessing that he wants to place upon your life. He wants to multiply in you. You've got to start thinking that way, friend. You have to stop buying into what everybody else says that you are, and you need to start buying in and laying claim to what God says that you are. You are a great nation, whether there's three people standing around you or 3 million. God has already promised that He wants to bless you and make you what He wants you to be, not what the world says that you have the ability to be. So God's promise involves separation. It involves multiplication. God's promise also involves identification. Can I ask a question? Who was going to make Abraham a great nation? God. God was going to do it. He says, "I will make you a great nation." Isn't that what he said? But how many times do we rely upon, in our culture, the idea of self-promotion? Well, I've got to get out there. I've got to put myself out. I've got to become known. I've got to show everybody what I've got. I've got to, you know, usually when we try to make ourselves, we make a mess of ourselves is what happens. God says, "I will make you a great nation." What a relief. You don't have to make you. God will make you. I don't think you caught that. Bridget, you don't have to make yourself something special, because God has already said, "I will make you something special." I don't have to be in charge of trying to promote myself, but God says, "Promotion is mine. And if you will just acknowledge me, I will promote you, because I am the one you need to identify with in your life. The promises don't come from you, they come from me. The blessings don't come because you're doing the right things, they just come from me, because my grace is much greater." And then the promises involve transformation. He says, "I'm going to make you a blessing." Now, I grew up in church. Most of you know that. My dad's a pastor. He has been for 50 years. And so I've been around church people. And one of the things that we would do when we showed up at church, and some of you who have grown up in church and you've been and worked in the, you know, visited in the circles of people that I've been around, one of the things that you walk into the church and you'll ask this question, you'll say, "Hey, how you doing?" And usually, if you're around church folks, you'll get this response. You'll usually get this word. What? "I'm blessed." Right? How many times have you heard that? "Well, how you doing?" "I'm blessed." And if that person is really, if they're really, really, really into it, they will say this: "I'm blessed and I'm highly favored." Right? Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored." And a smile just separates their whole face. "How you doing?" "Oh, blessed, blessed." And then some of them will, some folks, what's funny is you know that they've been doing some study on this. So you know they've been to the Amplified Version, because they would say this. They say, "You know, I'm blessed and I'm fortunate to be envied, and so I'm happy, happy am I." Which is the understanding in the Amplified Bible. "Well, I'm blessed, fortunate enough to be envied. Happy am I, Pastor." So I've been around. I understand. You see, the idea is this. People can walk up and they say, "How are you doing?" "I'm blessed, highly favored." And I'm thinking, "Man, you look terrible." Let's pray for more blessing. The understanding is this. Is that the reason why you are blessed and highly favored, the reason why that you are fortunate enough to be envied and you are happy, is because God has blessed you so that you can be a blessing. That doesn't sound too exciting. That's not revelatory. But I'm telling you, it is the way that the promises of God work. If you want the blessing of God to flow in your life, you have to understand the perspective that the reason why God blesses His people is so that they can be a blessing to others. So it should say like this: "How are you doing?" "Well, I'm blessed in order to be a blessing." "How are you doing today?" "Blessed. Just want to be a blessing." That's the way it should work. And here's the thing. We miss the context in all of that. in all of Abraham's life and all of that understanding. We miss that entire context because in a world like our world, in a culture like our culture in 2018, we look at this passage of Scripture and we say, this doesn't fit because we're so far removed. I mean, Abraham wasn't even a guy like us. I mean, he wore sandals and a toga. I mean, it doesn't fit. It doesn't translate into our culture. And God says, listen, I want you to carry the principle that what I promised Abraham is the same exact thing that I promised you. But here's what I want you to catch. The power is in the context of the Scripture. Let me show it to you. In verse 6 of Genesis chapter 12, it says that Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree Moreh at Shechem. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The first thing that God tells him, and he says, look, I want you to move into a bad neighborhood. That's the first thing he tells Abraham. I want you to go into the wrong side of the tracks, if you please. I want you to go and I want you to live in a place where there are Canaanites, which would be equivalent to our modern day idea of ISIS. I want you to go to that place. And God says, I'm still going to bless you. Here's what I want you to understand. The blessing of God is not limited by environmental circumstances around you. I don't care where you live. I don't care what part of town you grew up in. I don't care where you come from. The blessing of God is understood in your life regardless of your location, regardless of your environment. And we understand that because we had prefer to live in the places where we like to live, where the places are easy to live. But God's blessing is not limited by our environment. It is not limited by where you are in your life. There are many times in my life when I thought, God, I thought I'd be further down the road than this. At 40 years old, I would be further down the road. I know I'm only 32, but at 32... I thought that I would be a lot further down the road. But it doesn't matter where you live. You see, people in our culture, we're consumed with the ideas of life. And we look at the things like the world in America is just falling apart. But let me tell you something. You can be blessed regardless of what's going on in your culture or your nation or in your city or even in your home. Because the finest days of God are in front of you and not behind you. People talk about, well, the best days are behind us. I don't believe that. Because as long as God's in charge, my finest days are still in front of me. Come on, somebody. Finest days are still in front of you because when God moves you, no matter where you are, the blessing of God is transferred and travels with you. It is not locked to a specific location. I can bless you when life is ideal, God says. I can bless you when your environment is not pristine. I can bless you at any moment. Verse 10 says, now there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. Sometimes in life, normal gets displaced by abnormal. And we live in this abnormal circumstance that sounds like this. Well, Joe, the company's downsizing, and I'm sorry to tell you that you're not part of the future. Or the doctor comes in and he says, well, I'm afraid I have a little bit of bad news for you. Friends, understand that circumstances don't determine the blessing of God. Sometimes when life is broke and things aren't working out the way they should, we think that the blessing of God has stopped up. But I can just tell you this. God's blessing are not limited to your circumstances. I don't know. Some of you may be traveling a heavy road right now. You may be trying to make it through some things in a season in your life that have been very, very challenging up to this point. But I still want you to consider yourself the inheritor of the blessing that God promised Abraham. Because in Christ Jesus, no matter what your circumstances are, you can live a blessed life, Lois. And you are. No matter what comes your way, the circumstances aren't a determining factor. Verse 6 says, now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they had, talking about Abraham and Lot, and there was strife between the herdsmen. Abraham's livestock, Abraham's herdsmen, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, they dwelt in the land. Here's the thing. Sometimes we think when there is a disagreement between the people who are supposed to be with you and they turn out being the problem that we can't be blessed. When there is a problem with the community and the people around you, sometimes we think that that's going to limit the blessing of God, but it will not, because God says, I can still bless you in the midst of relational strife. My parents stepped up and they took a stand before there was such a thing as Stand Sunday. Back in the early 80s, my parents came to understand the need of a young girl that needed help. She was in the system, and they recognized that she was not going anywhere in the system. She had multiple needs, physical needs. It was an abusive situation, and they knew that they had to do something. So my parents stepped up. They took a stand. And they fostered to adopt a young girl and took her into our home. And I remember that moment when they came to me and they said, now, son, things are going to be a little bit different. Things are going to be challenging. Because I'll just say this, whenever you take a stand, that doesn't mean because you're doing something good for God that it's all going to be easy. Come on. Just because that the blessings are flowing doesn't mean that every circumstance, just, you know, the stars don't completely align every time. And there were challenging days. There were difficult days. I saw days where I would see my mom just sitting at the kitchen table just staring with tears rolling down her cheeks. I remember conversations of walking past my mom and dad and saying, this is too much, this is too challenging. Major physical issues they had to deal with, just all types of circumstances. But they made a difference in that girl's life. They made a difference. And I think the greatest difference was this. It wasn't the gifts that they gave. It wasn't the home that they provided. It wasn't the things. It was about welcoming this young girl into our home, and I was a young boy, welcoming her into our home and expressing the love that she had been chosen. She had been chosen. Not just found, but chosen. Let me just take a moment. Starla quoted a scripture. She said, many are called, but few are chosen. In John chapter 15, verse 16, the scripture says this. This is the Lord speaking. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. You didn't choose me. But I chose you. How many of you in this room understand and believe that you have been chosen? If you know God, you have been chosen. Because in Jesus, you have been made a part of a family that you did not have previously. You've been chosen. God says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I gave you the desire. I gave you the opportunity. I gave you the grace to change. I gave you the right people in your life. I gave you understanding of the thing that you used to laugh at. Now you understand that I have chose you. And I want you to understand, church. And everybody under the sound of my voice, you are not some wild plant. You have been planted by a master gardener. Your life is not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are the result of you are not the result of happenstance or some circumstance. You are not here because of regardless of the circumstances of your birth, because God meant you for you to be here today. God has a purpose for your life. God has ordered your steps. God has chose you. You are chosen by God. You're chosen. And because God has chosen you, He has chosen not only to choose you, but to bless you. What does it mean to be chosen by God? It means that within you, He has planted seeds. Because the fruit that bears out in your life comes from the seeds that God plants into your life. He's chosen you, my friends, as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, to go forth and to bear fruit. God has chosen you to be fruitful. There's only one thing that Jesus cursed more than any others. He said, I curse unfruitfulness. Because the seeds of God's grace have been placed in such an immeasurable amount in your life. The blessings of God are so unmatched and so innumerable that God says, I couldn't stand it to be able to bless somebody the way that I bless them and for them not to go out and to bear fruit. I can't stand it when somebody just says, I want to be blessed. And God's saying, I want you to be blessed to be a blessing. I chose you to go and to bear fruit. It just doesn't end there. It doesn't just end with, I chose you. It ends with, I want you to go and I want you to bear fruit. God has called you, friends, to be profitable in your life. I want you to be profitable. You've been chosen. You've been chosen to have something left. And I close with this. God wants you to have something left when the season is over. When the season, then this season of your life is over. So let me talk to you as your pastor for just a moment. Some of you, you look back over your life, you've seen varied seasons that you have walked through. Some of those seasons were very fun to be a part of. It was exciting. Everything was flowering, the leaves were green, it was easy. Those moments when things were going great and you just, man, those are the moments of life that you take pictures of. Those are the selfie moments. How many of you remember, you know all the selfie moments of life? Those are the Facebook moments of life that everybody puts on Facebook, all of the great times, but they don't put in the times where they're in the hospital or all those other times. They just put, you know, it's just the great times. These are the selfie moments. And those picture-perfect moments are the moments that we talk the most about. But God wants you to be fruitful when seasons end. I want you to think about any plant or tree. When that fruit that's growing on that tree, if it goes unpicked and it falls to the ground, and the leaves begin to fall as we're experiencing that season right now, the leaves begin to fall. They fall and they land upon the ground and that fruit begins to waste away. There is something that is left when that fruit has gone. Inside every measure of fruit, there is a seed. And what God wants you to understand is that being chosen, being blessed, means that when the season of that blessing is over, there is something left. There's something left. You see, God's saying to you, I want you to see more than just retirement. Because when this season of working and over and toil and labor is over, I want you to see that there's more than just sitting back and kicking your legs up and saying, wow, what a great life I had. He wants you to have something left when the season's over. When college is done and the degree's made, you've got that career path that you think that's in front of you and all of those friends and connections that you've made as you've walked through college, you've seen and had a good time, you know. I mean, God wants you to have something left when that season is over. He wants you to have the seeds of how God blessed you and He kept you from things and He saved you from things and He helped you from the tempter and those things that would have challenged your faith. And when the season is over, when you have walked with and journeyed with God and you have done certain things maybe in your life and your walk with the Lord and you know that season was coming to an end, you want to have something left over. God wants you to be fruitful because you've been chosen not just to be blessed but to be a blessing. You've been chosen. Probably one of the most important things in my whole house is this right here. It's my grandfather's flag. Veteran sailor of World War II in the Navy. Got any Navy men in the room? Yeah? Being Veterans Weekend, I'd like for all of our veterans to stand right now. If you served, I want you to stand. If you served. Stand up. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your service and for your support of this flag. He was awarded, my grandmother was awarded this flag in honor of his service in World War II. Two different things that he did. He was a bombardier on, I don't know what the name, fortress, or I don't know what they are. I can't remember the details. He was also a turret gunner. My grandfather was chosen. He was chosen. The blessing that he gave all of us and that you men and ladies have given us serving. Some of you, I know some of you, you didn't choose Uncle Sam, but he chose you anyway. And you received the blessings of the accolades and the claps, but let me tell you something, that transferred in for you to be the blessing. And in the very same way, we have been chosen to carry the banner of Christ in our community because God has blessed you so much. God has blessed me so much that He doesn't want us to hold it. He doesn't want us to keep it because if we hold it, it runs dry. The focus of the blessing of God, what does it mean to be blessed and chosen? It means that you go and become a blessing and that you choose others to pass on that blessing to. I know Stand Sunday is something that not everyone can adopt, not everyone can foster. I understand that, but there are numerous ways. And I emphasize this Sunday because it has rang a bell in my life that I have to do more. I have to do something. If there is a kid in our community that needs my help, I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to help them. And I want that same attitude to be alive in our church's life. That whatever we can do, we're not a big church. We're not an incredibly, you know, influential church in our city. But let me tell you something. We can't do everything, but we can do something. And that's all God's going to ask us to do is you got to do something. And for the past year, we've been working to do something because God has blessed us. And we are going to be a blessing in our community to families. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Lord, it's only by your grace and your mercy that you gave me, Lord, the circumstances that I have been privileged to have in my life. Lord, let me recognize what it means to be blessed. That every word that you gave to Abraham, Lord, also was spoken to me. Because I have put my faith in Jesus Christ, who is the inheritor of all of the promises that God and the conveyor of all the promises that the Father placed upon the patriarchs of old, Lord, you conferred in Christ. Because I am in Christ, I am the recipient of all of those promises. Lord, you said you would bless me. And you also said that I am being blessed to be the blessing. Lord, help us to take up this banner on this Sunday as a church. Minister not just to us, but minister through us as the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. I thank you, O God, for the opportunity that you have. I pray for every family and every child, Lord, in our city today who is in crisis. I pray, O God, for single moms trying to make it, working a couple of jobs, multiple children trying to manage and balance that terrible, difficult challenge of life. Lord, I pray, O God, for families, Lord, that are working, Lord, but just cannot make ends meet. Lord, I pray for children, Lord, in abused situations this morning, that you would help them to know that, Lord God, you love them and you care for them. And if they call upon you, Lord, you will be there. Lord, protect them, I pray, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, for this church, that we would know not just let our faith be something that, Lord, we pray about, but Lord, may our faith have legs, and may we use, Lord, our faith, Lord, to make a difference in our community. I praise you and I thank you today for our guests, Lord, for our veterans, Lord, for our kids, Lord, who are here today. I pray that, Lord, that you would just let your blessing, Lord, be upon us so that we might be a blessing. In Jesus' name. I want you to stand with me this morning as we dismiss. I want to pray a blessing over you as you go today. If you can't give, you can pray. If you can't pray, I'll help you. But you can go. See Shalina out here? You may not be able to adopt, but you can pray. You can adopt kids to pray for. There's a lot of different things that I want you to help us to do. You know, the most important thing that you can do for any family that's in crisis is just to love them. Let them know that you love them. Would you just lift your hands this morning? Father, I pray that you would bless us and keep us, that you would cause your face to shine upon us, that you would give us peace. Lord, may we be the conveyors of blessing, Lord, upon those in our community. Lord, let the touch, Lord, and the smile, and Lord, let the joy of the Lord that is our strength, Lord, may it, Lord, go through these hands, Lord, and touch those, Lord, who are in need. Let us be the eyes, the ears, the feet, the hands of Jesus in our city and in our communities. Bless us indeed, Lord. Cause your face to shine upon us and give us peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.